Turn your Bibles to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I want to look at what God told Joshua that I think might could be of encouragement to us. Joshua chapter 1. We'll read it as we go through. First thing I want you to notice is the huge task that Joshua had ahead of him. God has now called him. And so he says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Joshua was to be the new leader. And try to put yourself in his shoes. Moses has been leading the children of Israel for 40 years. He is the great Moses. Everybody knows who Moses is. Even today, somebody, unless they live under a rock, know who Moses is. The great lawgiver, the great leader of Israel. And he has died. And now Joshua is supposed to take his place. And I kind of think for a minute, well, that's interesting. One, I'm taking over the one that was leading the children of Israel for 40 years. You know, that's kind of, if you ever hear some, I've heard pastors say they followed up in a church where the pastor had been there 40 years. It wasn't the best experience in the world because I've been there 40 years. Well, wait a minute now. I'm not that fella. Well, Moses had been leading for 40 years, and now Joshua has the task to lead them. This is going to be a huge task. Secondly, you may want to know how Moses died. The Lord made sure that Moses did not enter the land because he disobeyed God. When God told him to do something to take care of the children of Israel, he did it the wrong way in anger. And God said, because you didn't show me respect, you're not going to enter the promised land. So two, think if you're in Joshua's shoes. One, the great leader is gone. Two, he blew it. And God was said, you're not going into the land. So I don't know about you, but I would be a little bit, oh, wow, this is going to be, it's going to be interesting. And plus, you know, I don't want to disobey the Lord like Moses did. But one good thing going for Joshua, he was one of the two, him and Caleb, who had spied out the land before they were getting ready to conquer it, and they came back with a positive report. The other 10 did not. That's why they were to wander the wilderness for 40 years. So Joshua had already, to a certain degree, proven himself. He'd already proven himself, and so now he is given the task. Notice in verse 2. "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." The task was now to lead the children of Israel to conquer the land against all the enemies of God. And this is no small task. They're going to be doing battles, and these people were the enemies of God, and this was a great war task that was before Joshua. But he was ready. He was ready. Now, you and I don't have a task like that, but all of us have something in life that as a task, something that needs to be done. Maybe nothing as big as that that looms ahead of us, but we all have something that looms ahead of us that needs to be done. And so we need to learn from Joshua. Secondly, I want you to know the steps they took to accomplish the task. The first is faith. Faith. Notice verse 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." The first thing that strengthened his faith is that God had promised this land. Notice how he says it. "That I, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Faith is made strong by the promise of God. God didn't say, now I want you to just go out there and do that and you're on your own. No. I've already promised this land as I promised to Moses. Now I'm promising it to you. And you are going to be able to conquer the land. We must believe in God's promises. See, faith is looking at life and seeing things that may say other than what Scripture says, and faith overcomes that to realize, to believe God's promise. It may look like, oh my goodness, where is God? I'm having a lot of troubles, a lot of problems. I mean, God's not on my side. No, that's not what God said. God promises in Romans that he'll work all things to our good. He promises if you're worried about something, bring it to him and I will answer. All through the Scripture, he says, call unto me and I will answer. He said, I will always be there with you. I am there to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. Part of the reason we preached on Romans is to let you realize that because we're in Christ, because we've trusted in him, God is now for us and not against us, and he's with us and he loves us. And so we must claim that promise no matter what things may see. He said, listen, I've given this to you, but notice the verse, part of verse 3 again. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Faith is a two-sided coin. Faith means to trust in God, but faith also means to step out there and do something. It isn't that I'm going to sit here and believe God and then do nothing. God didn't tell Joshua, said, now, all right, now I want you to go conquer the land. I've given it to you. And Joshua sits in the tent, and they sit on this side of the Jordan and said, oh, we're just praying for God. We know he's going to do it. Well, that's true, but you got to step out there and do something. And while you're stepping out there to do something, you have to trust in God and trust in his promises. Part of faith means to act. To act. If you pray for someone, well, then pray for them. If the opportunity comes up to speak to them, if not, if the opportunity comes up to be kind to them, whatever it may be, you have to act and trust that God has promised to hear our prayers. God has promised to help us, just as he promised Joshua, I have promised this land is yours. Now, go and conquer it, and I will be with you. Notice verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The second thing that builds faith is, one, you have to claim the promises of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter that all the promises of God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, all the promises of God are yea and yea. There are many things that God promises for us. In order to have faith in God, you have to claim a promise. Lord, you said here in your word, and I'm praying for this person, or I'm asking for this situation to change, or I'm doing something here. You have to have faith in God's promise. But secondly, you have to have faith that God's with you. This is what he said. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You see, we may fail, but God never fails us. God is always there to help us. Sometimes we fall down. Sometimes we skin our knee. Sometimes we might act ugly. Sometimes we may do a lot of things. But you know what? The Lord is standing right there, waiting to help. He never forsakes us. His presence never leaves us. He is always with us. And so faith not only looks at God's promises and grabs a hold of them, but faith also realizes that God is ever present with us and for us and always with us and will never fail us and never forsake us. The whole world may say, we want nothing to do with you. We hate you. But I'll tell you one person who will not forsake you, and that's God. God will never forsake you. You may not realize at night, he's right here with you tonight. He's with you when you leave. He's with you when you go home. He's everywhere with you. He's present. If you're saved, he's living inside of you. He will not, for notice, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You may fail. You may falter. But God won't. God will never forsake you. My daddy, and growing up, my daddy was a man who was helped me a lot. And my daddy never forsook me. He was always helpful to me, always there for me, always there to encourage me. When I went to seminary, at that day and time, it cost about $15,000 a year. Now, that's a lot. That don't sound like much today's standard, but that was a lot of money back then. You know what my father did? I had a paper out all those years. My father ran the paper out while I was going to seminary. He never forsook me. He never failed me. He was always there for me. My earthly father was that way. My mother was that way. And I'll tell you one thing about that. My heavenly father has never forsaken me, and he's never failed me. I falter. The knees shake. I'm having some trouble physically a little bit now because of my thyroid. But you know what? God never forsakes me, never fails me. He will keep with me, and he will keep helping me. One of the things to have faith is to believe God's promises, and secondly, believe God is with you. Then notice verse 6. The second thing of faith is this. He said, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Notice, now that he said, you're to believe me and I'm with you, then he says an interesting thing. Be strong and be of a good courage. I read a quote recently. You know what courage is? Courage is fear that said its prayers. Courage is fear that said its prayers. Anyone that's ever gone into battle in war will not say, "Oh, I had no fear. I was totally calm." Most will say, "Yes, I had fear," but their strength and their courage to go forward. He says to Joshua, "I want you to be strong and of a good courage." Listen to what Moses told him. Deuteronomy 31, Moses said, verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land the Lord had sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and thou shalt call them to inherit it." Do you catch a theme in there? Moses is telling what God told him. Be strong. Be of a good courage. He said later on in verse 22, he wrote a song. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." Faith believes God's promises and believes God's presence. And then God says, be strong. The word strong is interesting. It comes from a word which means to fasten upon something in which there is strength. Now, it's not talking about to be without emotions. It's not talking about to be on top of the world. It's just talking about whatever the task is, be strong. Do the task. You may be trembling. You may be falling to pieces, but you're strong. You go forth. You do whatever it takes to accomplish the task. And then to be courageous means to be alert physically and mentally and to be courageous. Be strong and courageous. It isn't just enough to believe God and to trust his promises and trust his presence. I'm to step out there and be strong in what I'm doing. Now, that don't mean the knees won't knock. I've told you before, when I was in high school, I took zeros. Probably could have had a lot better grade average, but I took zeros because I was scared to death to get in front of my classmates. And boy, we had a big class too, 25. And I knew all of them since the second grade. And I also remember we had to speak twice in Miss Fincher's class, and she'd say, "Tim, your report ready?" "No, ma'am, I don't have it." "Well, if you don't have it tomorrow, I'm going to give you a zero." "Okay, you have it?" "Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it." And I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. And I remember sitting around, I still remember this day, and I've told you before, and I remember sitting there this day, listening to two girls who were the top of the class, and when they did their report, they looked so wonderful and everything. And I just said, "I'm just amazed at how y'all do it. How do y'all get up there?" She said, "We're scared to death." "What? You're scared to death? Yeah, you don't see, but my knees are just a-knocking. I'm scared." "Well, you don't look scared." "I am, but I just get up there and do it." I didn't know they got scared. You know what? From then on, I learned to be strong. I actually began to do theater in high school. Began to perform. I performed at Ridgecrest several years ago when we were visiting with our college group. Performed in front of about 1,000 students. How in the world? Was I scared? Yeah. But I stepped out there and was strong. And courageous. You see, whatever the task is, God says, "Be strong and be courageous. I'm with you. Don't give up. Go with it. Do it." Then notice verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Do you catch a theme there, maybe? I missed that one, Lord. It's like driving down the road and there were 25 signs saying, "Slow down, slow down, slow down." And when you get your ticket, you go, "I didn't see the sign." Where was the sign? I didn't see it. Well, Lord, make sure, be strong. Be very courageous. Then he says this, "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Faith, strength, courage comes from the Bible and our obedience to it. He wasn't telling Joshua just to believe. He was. He was telling him to be strong and courageous, but he also said, "You make sure you do what my law says. You make sure you obey me." You see, Moses obeyed God all those years, and when he got down to the end, God told him, I forget how it was, and Moses didn't do it the way it should have been. And I remember I preached on this and mentioned it in a sermon, that God told Moses, "Because you did not revere me in the sight of the people, and you acted in a disobedience to me, you're not going into the land." Whoa. You're not. Do you know the greatest thing that God wants is just you and your willingness to obey him? I didn't mean perfect. We're all fall short. We all live in this fallen body. But obedience. You know, sometimes people get confused with the Christian life. They think the Christian life is just these wonderful, high, lofty experiences and these high, lofty emotions and all these good feelings, and that may have a part of it, but the truth is when your feet hit the ground, God still is waiting. Now, are you going to obey me? I bet some people that are just jumping from one place to the other, just excited about this, excited about that, excited about that, jumping here and there and up and down everywhere. But you know what you won't find in their lives? Obedience. You see, God says that you mayest observe to do according to all thy law, that thou may then prosper whithersoever thou goest. He expects him the faith, The strength and the courage comes from my willingness to obey. Scripture says, forgive. Okay. Don't be tough. I might do a lot of praying, but forgive. Scripture says some other things. Don't be tough, but be obedient. A disobedient heart is not what God wants. You can have 35 good deeds going, and if you don't decide to obey the Lord, they're just your good deeds. He's not interested. He wanted obedience. Joshua, I expect you to obey me. And how's he going to do that? Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, how am I going to know what God's word says? I guess I'm going to have to pray about it and have him put it in my brain. He says what? You're to meditate, and you're to think on it, and you're to think about the God's word and God's standard. And, you know, a lot of people don't even know what the Bible says. Well, where's the book of Deuteronomy? Where's Joel? Where's Judges? I don't know. I guess somewhere in there. Dr. Chet used to say this. If you don't know where the railings are on the mountain, how are you going to be able to govern the mountains of life and the curves of life if you don't know where the railings are? And so a lot of Christians love to drive as close to the edge of the mountain as they can. Well, it isn't wrong, is it, preacher? Well, I guess not. I'm not going over the mountaintop. No, wait a minute. I don't know about you, but one time when we went up a mountain, it was quite steep, and we come around a curve, and this fella met me, so I had to kind of gently move over this way so he could come by, and he wanted to talk about 5 minutes. Well, I didn't realize at the time Deanne was at the edge looking over into the oblivion, and she was like, yeah, hurry. And he was just wanting to talk about 5 minutes. So finally he went on, and I said, okay. And Deanne said, move over. As soon as they go by, pull over. Let's don't get too close to the edge. So you can do what God said. Oh, yeah, I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I was thinking, what are they? Isn't one of them be good to your neighbor? One of the laws is that God helps those that help themselves. Oh, I know another. Isn't that found somewhere in there in Matthew where it says something else that you're supposed to? You know, I get tickled sometimes when I go out and talk to people who don't go to church. And sometimes if they have a little axe to grind, they always have a verse. Preach, don't it say somewhere in the Bible that you're not supposed to do, you know? I either smile or sometimes I say, well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I have never read that one. I'll have to go back and look again. If he didn't know what it said, well, how can you do what it says if you don't know what it says? Well, I don't understand my Bible. Well, keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. More I read it, more I realize I don't understand. I don't know what this verse means. What does this mean? I was going to do another sermon, and I started studying it, and finally I just said, Lord, that's it. I don't know what this thing means. I can't preach on it. I don't know what it means. I had to move on to something else till I could come back and, Lord, help me to see it. Do all that it says and then to meditate day and night. You know, one of the blessing things that I did growing up is my mother made me memorize scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. It's just lodged in the brain. And I knew when I got out there among people, I go, that don't sound right, because I knew the Bible. You have to know it. Then notice verse 9. Oh, another theme again. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know what the word dismayed means? It means to break down in discouragement. Oh, my goodness. I can't do it anymore. I just give up. That's what it means. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and good courage. Teacher, I missed that test. What? I told you we were going to have George Washington on the test, and we were going to have what his first presidency was like. Oh, you did? Yeah, I had it in 35 handouts I gave you. I mentioned it 22 times in class over the quarter. I must have missed it, teacher. Ain't going to work. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You see, it's faith in his promises and in his presence, and it's being strong and courageous. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be nervous. It doesn't mean you're going to, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? It doesn't mean when I was early on in the ministry and I had to go talk to someone, it didn't mean that my knees were not shaking a little bit, because I knew it was going to be a difficult conversation. But you know what I did? I did it. Strong and courageous. So whatever task you have in life, be strong. Be courageous. Because you know what? The Lord is with you. Wouldn't it be nice if he just walked along with you everywhere you went? Oh, someone say something to you, say, oh, excuse me, have you met the Lord yet? That'd be so nice, wouldn't it? Have you met my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ? Strike him. No, I wouldn't. No, you wouldn't want to say that. You met my friend, Jesus? Wouldn't that be nice? That's where faith comes in. He's with you every step of the way. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your precious word, and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen.